You are listening to Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, with your host, Randy Sutton. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. I'm your host, Randy Sutton. We've got a great show for you today, a fantastic guest in the interview room. But a couple things before we get started. One is, I would really love you to go to Amazon and go to The Wounded Blue. The Wounded Blue is our film for thewoundedblue.org, the National Assistance and Support Organization for Injured and Disabled Law Enforcement Officers. I'm asking you to go and rent this movie or buy this movie. All of the proceeds go to The Wounded Blue. But you will be shocked at what you see and the plight of the men and women who's serving this country once they become injured or disabled, how badly they are often treated. And I know that it's almost hard to believe, but when you see this film, contact me on Facebook at The Voice of American Law Enforcement. Tell me what you think. So if you would, go to Amazon, look at The Wounded Blue, buy it, rent it, watch it. And let's get into the briefing room, where I'm going to give you my view from the blue. There's always so much to talk about when it comes to law enforcement in America. And much of it is disturbing. I mean, how many times do I talk about really positive stuff involving law enforcement on this show? It isn't very often. And today isn't going to be any different. I mean, there's so much madness that takes place, generally speaking, due to politics and the politicians who are everywhere from upper level senators and governors all the way down to sheriffs and police chiefs and mayors. I'm going to tell you a little story right now that we've talked about what's going on in Portland a number of times on this show. The mayor, a guy named Ted Wheeler, got to be one of the worst mayors regarding policing I've ever even thought of. Now Portland is gone so far left that it is causing a huge public safety issue that isn't ever being addressed. So the mayor, Ted Wheeler, gets elected mayor, hires a police chief that is basically just a figurehead, does whatever the bidding is of the chief, of the mayor, and then the mayor appoints himself police commissioner. This guy's ego is through the roof. I've never heard anything so ridiculous in my life. So he appoints himself police commissioner, and then he runs roughshod over the men and women of the Portland Police Bureau in ways that are absolutely shocking. He is so anti-law enforcement. He has put into place policies that literally are forcing the cops to do as little as humanly possible due to the political pressures that he's putting on them. If a Portland cop actually uses force, now what they've done is they put policies into effect that basically don't allow the cops to use any force whatsoever. They put their hands on somebody, and they've got 48 investigations going on. And that simply is a recipe for disaster right there. And all because the mayor and his liberal buddies who are running the place, that's their politics. So the police officers themselves are less safe. They're not given the tools that they need in order to police the city. When I say the tools that they need, I mean policies and procedures in place that are designed to do what the police function is, and that is to protect and serve. If the only thing that you are concerned with as a cop is trying to dodge the political bullets, so to speak, and try not to get in trouble for use of force or other issues, then that causes depolicing. So this mayor is poison for the police. I mean poison for the police. Now it's catching up to him, though, because of his policies. The Portland Police Bureau can't hire cops. Nobody wants the job anymore. There used to be, if you wanted to be a police officer in Portland, you'd have to stand in line to get an application even. Well, they just had a police test. They have hundreds of vacancies because nobody wants to join the damn police department because of the mayor and because of his policies. So they announced this police test. Only 60 people even apply for it, which is unbelievable in a major city. Now get this, 60 people applied for it. Only 3 out of the 60 could even pass a background check. Are you kidding me? First of all, the city should be massively concerned that they cannot hire, they can't even attract enough qualified candidates to even apply for the damn job. 60 people is ridiculous. But wait a minute, who are those 60 people if they can't even pass a background test, generally speaking, for drugs or for criminal activities? So that tells you that there is trouble right here in River City, in the Portland Police Bureau. Now, you would think that public safety is one of the major issues of a city. Not in Portland, apparently, because the mayor is doing nothing to combat this. In fact, he won't even acknowledge that he's the problem. Instead, they make some public comment about, you know, society or whatever. Mayor Wheeler, the reason nobody's applying for the job is because of your incompetence, because of your anti-police attitudes. And now, as of just a few days ago, it's spilling into the actual public safety, because the sheriff of Clackamas County, which borders and Portland is inside of, deputies, I'm going to read this headline to you. Deputies are no longer responding to calls in Portland. Portland just lost a huge chunk of its police presence. Now, this article is from LET, Law Enforcement Times. And here's the sheriff. On Friday, Clackamas County Sheriff Craig Roberts wrote an email to his deputies, stating his concern for their safety. Listen to this. This is from the sheriff. I will not place you at unnecessary personal and professional risk, the email read. Wow. Now, the city of Portland is largely patrolled by the Portland Police Bureau, of course, but it also receives support from neighboring counties like Clackamas Sheriff's Department. With this decision, remaining officers in the area will no doubt feel the stress of being understaffed. Now, the timing is really bad, because May 1st is coming up, and last year there was a protest. This year there's going to be a protest, and it always turns violent in Portland because the Portland police are powerless to do any enforcement action. So without a doubt, there's going to be violence on May 1st. They're not going to get backup from the counties, from the county sheriff's departments. And you add to this, why is the sheriff doing this? Well, there's a couple reasons. One is that the mayor, of course, pulling the strings, the puppet master, made an announcement just a month ago that the city was not going to indemnify officers from other jurisdictions who come in to assist the Portland police. This is insanity. Every police agency has what they call a mutual aid pact with their neighboring communities. And that covers the officers in the neighboring communities if they come in and get involved in any enforcement actions which lead to lawsuits or things like that. So Wheeler, in his infinite wisdom, had announced that he was no longer going to indemnify other police agencies for coming in. So, of course, what is another agency going to do? They're not coming into your city. What that does is that makes the citizens far less safer, but it makes the Portland police officers far less safer as well, because they don't have backup from other police agencies. I've never heard of this. I truly haven't. In 34 years as a police officer and all the things that I've done in the law enforcement community, I've never heard of a city making a decision that is so boneheaded and so ridiculous. But leave it to Wheeler to play with the lives of not only his constituents but his police officers. So in furtherance of this article, the Portland Police Bureau is up in arms, and they are angry about this mayor and about the police department administration and how they're treating them. And this is from the Portland Police Association. The reason the police bureau is experiencing catastrophic staffing shortages, drastically declining recruiting successes, and the inability to retain officers is due to one core issue: the intense anti-police sentiment in our city that city council seems to share. Now, Portland Mayor Wheeler, when he found out that the Clackamas County Sheriff said, you know what, we're not sending anybody in anymore, he begged him. He says, no, wait a minute, wait till after the May 1st demonstration. Well, you know what, I'm glad the sheriff had the guts to say, you this is of your making, and it's too late. We're not coming. I really have so many concerns for the Portland police officers, though. They are literally having their lives put on the line, and man, I'm telling you, this is just insanity. So anyway, we'll continue. We'll continue to talk about this without a doubt, because nothing seems to be changing in Portland, that's for sure. So let's move on to some of the other insanity that's going on in the world. There is some craziness going on in Baltimore, another one of my favorite places to talk about. So we have discussed on this show before, and we will continue to talk about district attorneys, prosecutors that are being elected to office, and then once they get into office, they become, I'm sure they were already social activists. Mosby, Marilyn Mosby, who is the state's attorney in Baltimore, showed that early on that she was an activist, not a prosecutor. She did this when the Freddie Gray case took place. You'll remember that Freddie Gray was arrested for some resisting arrest and dope offenses. He was placed into a prisoner transport vehicle, taken to jail, and he had apparently smashed his own head against the interior of the van. And he wound up dying later on. So Marilyn Mosby comes out on the steps of City Hall, declares that she is going to prosecute the police, and arrests six of the officers who were involved, some having no more contact with Freddie Gray than waving bye-bye to him as he got into the van. And she wound up making a complete fool of herself. She looked like an idiot. She tried to prosecute these six cops. Not one of them was found guilty. Charges were dropped. They were all found not guilty. And then she was forced to drop the charges. And she looked like exactly what she was, an incompetent. But it doesn't end there. So the officers tried to sue her for malicious prosecution. And I was really hopeful that they were going to be able to get that suit on. Unfortunately, the upper courts said that Mosby had qualified immunity, meaning he can't sue her, no matter what she did, including malicious prosecution. So I think it's kind of an outrageous decision, but that was it, and so they had to drop the lawsuit. Well, she's done it again. She has once again revealed her true socialism tendencies, and she has now come out and said she was going to just dismiss. Well, first she announced that she's not going to be prosecuting anybody for marijuana offenses anymore, even though marijuana is against the law, including for possession with intent to distribute. People now can have bales of marijuana, and she won't prosecute. She came out and said that. That wasn't enough, though. Now she came out and she made a big announcement that that she was going to vacate 5,000 previous convictions for possession of marijuana. She was going to have the state vacate. In other words, all these people that got arrested for something that is still illegal, by the way, she was going to just wave a magic wand and remove their convictions. Fly and be free. Nice thought. The court said, "What? Are you crazy? What are you talking about? You can't do that. It's against the law." And now she's crying that, "Oh, this is a social injustice." I'm gonna find the exact quote. But I watch her, and she's the state's attorney. She's supposed to be one of the top law enforcement officials in the county. But instead, she has taken on her role as social activist much more seriously than she has about being the state's attorney. So she announced in January that her office had stopped prosecuting marijuana possessions, and she would ask the courts to erase thousands of convictions dating back to 2011. And of course, she did this in the same grandstanding style that she always has. She stood in front of City Hall. "I'm announcing a monumental shift in public policy as it relates to marijuana possession in the city of Baltimore. Effective immediately, the Baltimore City State's Attorney's Office will no longer prosecute marijuana possession cases regardless of the weight and or the criminal history," unquote. In other words, multi-time offenders who she could have put in prison using these statutes, she refuses to do. She is absolutely taking her duties and tossing them into the garbage. But the circuit court judge ruled that she simply cannot wave away the convictions of 5,000 people. And I mean, it was a scathing court decision. But now she's coming out as like the victim. Now she's you know, pretending that because the court slapped her down, it's racist and it's anti people. And I mean, she is as bad as it comes when it comes down to these social activist individuals who somehow keep getting elected. Well, I know how they keep getting elected, because of millions and millions of dollars poured into their campaigns by the likes of George Soros and other social justice, quote, warriors, unquote. So she's just another sweetheart. And, you know, we're going to continue to see her. And meanwhile, of course, I don't know if you know this, but the mayor was just, the FBI just conducted raids in everything that she possesses for corruption. So the mayor is currently persona non grata. She's been linked to a corruption scandal. Baltimore's in the toilet. Their police commissioner was just sentenced to serve prison for tax offenses. It's going from bad to worse. And the poor Baltimore cops, they're under siege. They have no valid leadership. Their morale's in the toilet. They can't hire cops because nobody wants to work there. And this is all part of the degrading of the law enforcement and criminal justice system in America that is purposefully being dismantled by these activists. So it's more of the same. I would love to say that I think that there is something good on the horizon, but I don't believe it. We're seeing more and more of these social activists, prosecutors, and district attorneys not only getting elected, but blatantly saying, you know what, elect me, and I won't prosecute you for just about anything. I mean, some of the lists of things that these district attorneys are not prosecuting is shocking, really shocking. Things that are felony crimes, they're just saying, you know what, I don't think it's right, and therefore I'm not going to prosecute them. And there are no ramifications for them. There's no accountability. There's no consequences. And as a result, we're going to see this decline continue all over the nation. So anyway, I wish I had some better news for you today, but that's the way it is when you tune in to Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. You hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So we're about out of time here in the briefing room, but I can't wait to get into the interview room because you are going to love my next guest. He's been a guest on this show before, Bob Kroll, who is the head of the Minnesota Police Officers Federation. Oh, he's got a lot to say. I want to tell you guys about a pretty amazing product. It's called Arrest My Vest Spray. And really what it's designed to do is when you are wearing a ballistic vest, you know, it gets sweaty, it gets hot, it gets drenched, you know, from working out in the street. And sometimes it doesn't smell all that well. And this is an amazing product that takes that odor away. And you don't even have to use it just for the vest. It takes pet odors away. It's great for your vest. It's great for your dog bed. Everything else that you need a deodorizer for. This stuff is amazing. Check it out. It's at stinkyvest.com. Go to stinkyvest.com and check out Arrest My Vest Spray and arrest the odors. I want to tell you about a company called Law Enforcement Specialists. If you are an active duty law enforcement officer and you're looking to work extra jobs like security and traffic jobs, these are the people you need to go through. We all know that working extra jobs is what gives us the extras, gives us that little extra payment that we need, or perhaps gives us the opportunity to take our families out to dinner a little more often. And the only way to do it is to be working extra jobs. So what they do is they're all over America. I think they're in everything but a couple of states. And they work with your organization, your administration, and find off-duty jobs to work. You got to check them out. Go to offdutypoliceofficers.com. That's offdutypoliceofficers.com. And register with them, contact them. Now, if you have security needs, this is the company you want to go through as well. If you are looking for both security or traffic jobs, if you have a company that requires that, you want to contact these folks as well. They're good people. They're based in Arizona, but they have police officers and services all over the country. Go to offdutypoliceofficers.com.
The Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
With me today in the interview room of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, is Bob Kroll. Bob is a Minneapolis police lieutenant. He is also the president of the Minneapolis Police Officers Federation, and he is the union president for the police officers in Minneapolis, a 30-year police veteran, and I welcome you to my show. Thanks for being here, Bob.
Thanks for having me once again, Randy. It's always a pleasure.
You know, it seems that I have you on this show every time one of your political leaders or police leaders does something so boneheaded that it almost makes you laugh in their decision making. And today, it is for that exact reason that we are here to discuss what's going on in the latest political nonsense in Minneapolis.
Correct. We got rid of, you know, we had Betsy Hodges for mayor, and thank God we got rid of her. And actually, the guy that beat her was a former council member. And if you can believe it, Randy, he is more center than the rest of the city council. The council is completely, completely ultra-left lunatic. But the mayor is more so the voice of reason. And for the most part, we get along halfway decent, but he comes up sometimes without thinking or consulting anybody that could advise him to say, hey, no, this is a bad idea. So what he did was came out and said, and this was during his State of the City address. So he's holding a press conference with his State of the City address and says during it that the police are no longer going to go to what's called warrior-based training because that is fear-based. And that means that they're afraid of everybody they encounter, and they're going to be trigger-happy cowboys, basically. So it was an ill-informed decision that he made. He's obviously ignorant to what occurs in some of this training. And I think the training he was talking about is like Lieutenant Colonel Grossman's bulletproof mind, killology. It was the names he didn't like. So that got the ball rolling.
Well, so here's... For the listeners that are unaware of this, this came out very, very publicly. So law enforcement officers around the country are training is essential to not only their education, but to their survival. And there are a number of excellent training courses that are available to law enforcement. Very often, these training courses are provided by outside vendors to police agencies, and Killology is one of them. Killology is also the name of a book by Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, who is an absolute expert in the field of warrior-based training as far as military and police. Suddenly, for seemingly no reason whatsoever, the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, comes out publicly not only banning the training that he says is fear-based, I don't know where he came up with that term, but also said that not only are the police officers of Minneapolis not going to be given that training, they can't even attend it on their own time. When I saw that statement, I almost lost my mind. I was almost laughing so hard at how he thought that A, this is a good idea, and B, that how the hell do you think he could get away with this?
Well, here's the best part, Randy. He still thinks he does. And even after we've talked, and, you know, actually I have fairly open lines of communication with him, his staff, and for a change, we, you know, not to divert too much, but I got rid of a horrible chief. She was unappointed, and I went from the, in my 23 years in the Federation Board, I went from the worst to the best as far as interaction. I got a very good chief right now. We work things out well. And we sat down and discussed this, and it's like, come on, we know that there isn't a judge that's going to uphold that you cannot, that you can dictate what police officers watch and see. So when he came out with this during his State of the City address, we also saw some online training available, and actually lawofficer.com reached out to us, and they were going to provide some training online for our officers. So we said, hey, this is great. This is, you know, they're Monday through Friday, there's maybe a 3 to 5 minute training snippet that they can log on to and see, or they can have a phone app and do it that way. And it's Major Travis Yates from Tulsa PD. This is his organization. He reached out to us. And so we're going to roll what we thought, well, what a way to answer back to the mayor's naive statement. We'll roll this training out. And then he says, well, you'll be disciplined. And I said, how in the hell can you discipline people? I said, so are they going to not let me watch the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday? Or how about hockey? If there's fights in there, there's violence. Can I not watch hockey at home now? And I'm going, you know, there's two ways to look at this. If you want to pay me 24/7, I think can think of myself and another 100 guys in the job that would take that in a second. We'll do whatever you want for you can completely own us, but you got to compensate us. Otherwise, guess what? When we're off duty, you can't tell us what we can view, whether it's online, you know, provided it's not unethical or immoral or illegal. But beyond that, if you want to enhance your skills and to watch all the training videos you want in your off time, how can the mayor dictate that that can't happen? And how is the city attorney not stepping in and saying, look, mayor, you're overreaching your authority. This is illegal. And if you discipline these people for doing this, you know, it's going to be overturned by any arbitrator in the country.
You actually had conversation with your chief about this as well. What's his stance
yes.
on this?
The chief, you know, he came and met with the Federation Board. This thing blew up in not just the local media like crazy this past week, but even national media. And the chief, we do work things out well together. He came to my union board meeting and said, guys, let's work through this. How about we do the training? You know, give it. I know that we're going to like it. We'll have it vetted by our training unit and then roll it out, and there's no issues. And I think he understands that you can't, you know, hold people and discipline people for what they do off duty. So anyway, he understands it, he gets it, but there's a separation with the mayor. And the problem is that the mayor's like 36 years old. It's kind of funny how the DFL party selects these guys. He was from out east, and they think, hey, you know, Minneapolis is that kind of progressive city. You get him in, move him over into the city as an attorney. Get him on the city council for one term and then get him elected mayor. And I think he's looking for bigger and better things. But he's the young Democrat progressive movement. And he threw out there that, you know, he made this statement, which is absolutely ignorant. But he digs his heels in and won't back down. So it's either, all right, let's have the showdown and we'll prove you wrong in a court or an arbitration if you discipline someone. Or you can, you know, listen to your legal advisors and say, hey, this is overreaching.
I got to tell you, Bob, that I had a pretty good laugh when I was watching you on the local news, and you said that you're going to be attending the training, and if the mayor wants to discipline me, I'll be right here.
Well, you know, it's kind of with my history, Randy. I'm a lieutenant, and I've been demoted, which I got back. I've been the subject of 54 internal affairs investigations. I've been
54? That's a pretty good number.
I've been suspended for a day, a week, and a month, and I've gotten every speck of everything back. Because, you know, when you're on the union board in our city, you've had some chiefs in the past that, obviously, if you're doing your job aggressively for your officers, there's a target on your back, and anytime they can't open a case, they do. And anytime they think they can administer discipline, they do. Unfortunately, they've all been overturned in my case. So I said, yeah, I'll be the guinea pig. I'll be the first one to take the online training and go ahead and do what you deem necessary, and we'll win that one too. You know, I've had my 3-day suspension was spent on the beach of Mexico. You get it all back, you know. So when they can't help themselves sometimes and they don't see, you know, what's within policy and what's outside of policy, sometimes politics in our city takes control, as it does, I'm sure, many, many others.
Absolutely. So let's get back to the mayor for just a little bit here. This came out of the blue. Did you have any inkling that that he was so well? First of all, how did it come to his attention to begin with that this training was going to take place?
That's what I don't understand, and I had no idea this was coming because obviously he could have talked to the chief, his command staff. I get along very well with the command staff of our three deputy chiefs. I used to supervise all three of them at one point, you know, in my career. So we've got a good command staff, and I think they would advise him different. But the funny part was, it was in his State of the City address, and in that, why he felt the need to throw that out there, I have no idea. And the other interesting part as it relates to law enforcement was the funny thing is the mayor is on board with getting us more officers. Our city per capita, by comparison standards, is very outnumbered or is very low numbered by comparison of, you know, civilians to officer ratio. You know, we got 420,000 in the city. And we're at a department that's authorized strength is 888, and we're running at about 860. I've seen it as high as 940 in my career. And the mayor is committed to moving us up, but the way he explained it and used it is kind of backwards also. He says, you know, you don't want these cops that are burnt out and coming to your call where they're tired and they're angry and they're more likely to use excessive force or be demeaning to you because they're running call to call and they're worn out. That was his analogy to get the council to agree to give us more cops.
Oh my God.
These bullies, when they arrive at your house, are going to be in a bad mood and they're going to be more likely to abuse you unless we get more of them. So it was whatever roundabout way he wants to do it. Obviously I'm on board. We should have, for a city our size and for the amount of people that come in to work during the daytime and then come in for nightlife at nighttime, we should have at a minimum of 1,000 officers. If you compare us to some other cities of our same size, but whatever way he wants to get there. But again, what a ass backwards way to want to do that is, not hey, let's give these guys some help. And you know, they select a new chief. We got our first black chief we've had there. And why are you going to set the guy up for failure and leave us extremely understaffed? And at some point, you got to look at your overtime expenses and see how much it's going to cost you to hire full-time employees to offset that.
When he came out with this decree, that's the best word that I can use for this anti-training decree, it's pretty clear to me that this was political pandering at its very, very best.
And you bet.
Once again, using the police as the whipping boy to stir up. And what that is, this, what he was doing was stirring up an anti-law enforcement a menu, if you will.
Right. It's the problem that these it's magnitude of problems in the city of Minneapolis. We're much like a Seattle, you know, we're it's that mentality. There's the young progressive activists that find themselves elected to the city council. We have 13 city council members, and this last election, the further left beat the left and unseated them. So the sad part is they get elected and they're not serving the vast majority of their contingency. The working people that are minding their own business are supportive of law enforcement. You know, they're not the vocal mouthpieces. It's a small segment that they and this pandering to them. You know, we've got, like everywhere else, you got your, you know, Communities United Against Police Brutality, which consists of like four people and a couple of hanging arounds. You know, but they've got a mouthpiece. They're on the news all the time. So the politicians, including the mayor, they pander to that ultra-left, anti-police people out there. It's terrible.
He's come out with this publicly, and now you're saying that he's dug his heels in, and he
doubled down. He said, "We take any of this outside." And how the hell are they gonna know? You know, what you turn on your computer at home. What you're turning on to view. If you view lawofficer.com, if you view some of the Travis training, how in the world are they going to know? But It's not like our copper is out there. I mean, believe me, we get enough to satisfy our post requirements for the state and then some for our internal training every year. The guys are who likes going to in-service training all the time. You know, it's not like our guys are going and attending, Colonel Grossman seminars in their off time all the time. But he came out with a statement that is just so naive. The very concept and lack of knowledge of what occurs in our training. It'd be one thing if he was wrong and had and made some informed decisions. But I mean, years ago, we had Colonel Grossman out and trained the entire department, and it was some of the best training we ever had. You know, the guy, like you said, he is an absolute expert in training of both, you know, military, SWAT, police, in survival.
You know, it's interesting. When I was one of the jobs that I had with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department was I was in charge of the Advanced Training Bureau. And I brought in Colonel Grossman. He trained every one of our department members as well. I mean, and there's nothing radical in his training. It is actually very philosophical and esoteric as well as practical. So I find it, I mean, that makes it all the more absurd for this mayor to come out with this decree. Now, who was going to bring Colonel Grossman in? Was it your department?
So no, here's what we had. He wasn't even on the radar. And what happened first after the dust up, he did the State of the City address last Thursday, I believe. And then this has been been kicked back and forth between us and the media. I did another press conference last night, you know, it kind of tit for tat. We've been going back and forth. But what happened, first it was Travis Yates that reached out and we're like, perfect. We're going to roll out online training and get the phone app for any of our membership that wants it for the first. You can't do this to us. But then second, we reached out to Colonel Grossman, and we had him locked in to come and do two training sessions, a morning and a night, in the last Thursday of June, June 27th, which is our ordinary membership meeting. So we thought, perfect. He'll come as long as the guys are on their own time. We'll cater in lunch, and he was aware of what's going on. He cut us a very good deal, so we got him locked in to come and train. We said, hey, you're going to discipline everybody that comes to his training. So when the chief sat down with us Thursday and mitigated this out, we thought, here's the plan. We will have Colonel Grossman teach to the chief, his command staff and the administration, and our training personnel, and it will extend the invitation to the mayor and the city council members and hopefully open their eyes and any of their people that they wanted to see this. So they have an opportunity to vet Colonel Grossman's training. That'll be the morning session. And then the afternoon session will open it up to our memberships and membership. And the city said, you know what? That sounds great. The chief says, that's great. We'll split the cost with you. We'll pay for the morning. You guys pay for the afternoon. We'll divide the cost for Colonel Grossman, and hopefully we'll open the eyes of our politicians and see what a good training course it is, what his curriculum is all about, rather than just, stereotyping it's bad because of this name. So, and everybody will succeed. That way we'll bring people on board because they'll realize this is about survival skills. And like you said, it's very professional training, and it's not, rogue cowboy, go kill them stuff. So
that sounds like a very, very reasonable thing to do.
Correct. And we sat down, hammered it all out, and the next morning, the mayor, he was out of town that day, and the next morning, yesterday morning, he comes in and holds a press conference and says, well, the union basically backed down, and they're going to comply. They're going to comply, or they're going to be disciplined. And funny enough, I had a membership meeting Thursday night and told the membership that we're putting this to rest. The administration's working with us on this. We're going to have the training available. Just remain patient. You're not going to be disciplined. And then sure enough, the next morning he says this. So you can imagine the reaction that my members had. It made for a very busy couple of days for me, obviously.
So it's going to be my guess. I'm going to make a prediction here that the mayor will not be attending the training being given by Lieutenant Colonel Grossman.
I think he'll find a way to bow out. there'll be some type of, bicycle path committee that because we've got that just what you need in Minnesota. And by the way, Randy, there's the threat of snow today. I'm not kidding. So you can imagine how the bike path use that we get in our major thoroughfares there. It is absolutely unbelievable. Next time you're up, I'll have to show you around because it is bike paths everywhere. They just what we need in Minnesota winters.
Of course. But that's the
whole nother area of politics, right, in Minneapolis, my friend. But I think you nailed it, and I'm imagining that he'll have some other important meeting to be at to bow out.
And my guess is that the rest of the city council will also not show up.
I already said I bet there's two, possibly three out of our 13 that would actually show up for
big,
that.
That's going to be a big empty room.
Sure, but you know what? The Federation Board will be there, and we got a good afternoon planned regardless. If it's a bomb in the morning, our members are looking forward. We've got a ton of people already signing up for it.
I'll bet. And I want to also bring up that Major Travis Yates of the Tulsa Police Department, who is also the founder and president of LawOfficer.com, provides some excellent training. In fact, Travis has been on this show several times as well, and LawOfficer.com is a tremendous resource for law enforcement news, and also he does some very, very high quality training and leadership training as well.
Yes, he does.
He's as good as they get, and it's great to, you know, it's really in this day and age when law enforcement is in the focus of people's attention literally all the time, training is absolutely essential, not only for the professionalism of the individual officers, but for their own physical and emotional safety as well. So any good quality training should be welcomed instead of being subjected to this type of ridiculous scrutiny and discouragement.
You bet. You know, it's sad times when you have politicians that are very ignorant to what occurs, overruling. Like you said, you know, they not only should they be not banning this training, they should be embracing it and funding it.
Exactly. You know, and Minneapolis PD has been in the news for some other reasons here lately. There's the very high visibility trial of one of your former officers, the police officer who shot and killed the Australian woman who was unarmed.
Yeah, Mohammed Noor, correct.
Yeah, and this, you know, this is something that when this incident occurred, Noor was hired under the previous mayor and police chief, the one who were highly, highly politicizing law enforcement. And when he was hired, Noor was trotted out like a prize pony to the public, basically as a, hey, look at us, look at how diverse we are. And, and right then, it seemed like they set him up for failure because, you know, when you just get hired on, those are your formative years. You need to be concentrating on learning to do your job, not being some type of...
In the political fray right away, yes.
So, yes. I mean, now I'm not justifying what he did whatsoever. I wasn't there. I don't know. I know that there's some issues, but my concern is that because of politics, did they set this guy up for failure? Because he wasn't qualified to be a cop when they hired him. B, did they retain him when he was not measuring up to the usual high standards of the department because of his Somali heritage, and then if you're not competent to be a cop, and you go and you do something as high visibility and as terrible as this is of this officer involved shooting of an unarmed woman, who's really at fault here?
Yeah, that's a good question. The jury, last witness was called in the case Friday, and closing arguments are Monday. So it's going to be very interesting. And just I have had to be silent on this because the first time Nork spoke was on the stand this past week, yesterday and the day before he testified. Otherwise, it was complete silence. Now, the interesting twist for us, he was our member, and they fired him based on the criminal complaint. And anybody who knows anything about labor stuff means that skipped the whole process. There was no investigation. There was no Loudermill hearing. They terminated him prematurely. So I've got due diligence with my position that I filed a grievance. I met at a grievance step one meeting, and we agreed to table this until the outcome of the criminal trial. Obviously, if he is convicted, he's going to lose his post license, and having his job is the last thing he's got to worry about. It's going to be how much time does he go to prison for. But if he is acquitted, they fired him without just cause. So they can't put stuff together after the fact on what they fired him for. So there is another
interesting
trick bag is, does he come back on the job? Because we'll certainly win an arbitration because they had nothing to base their discipline on other than a criminal complaint. That was it. Or are they going to do, you know, in a case of a neighboring city, Geronimo Yanez in the Philando Castile shooting, that was a Minneapolis, St. Paul suburb. They paid him obviously to go away, an undisclosed amount. And that was the end of it. Even though he was charged and, you know, he was charged and acquitted.
Found not guilty.
So it's an interesting twist to the Nor one. You know, the jury could have this back next week. We're expecting a decision sometime next week. And if he's found not guilty, we're right back into representing one of our members. So
that's an interesting position.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one thing that I found interesting was that he never did make a statement to anyone about the shooting.
No,
and for, you know, many of the listeners, they're asking the question, well, wait a minute. How can you be a police officer and get involved in an officer-involved shooting and not even have to talk about it? That's something that
right.
is very difficult to grasp. Can you explain that to him?
Yes, and there's, you know, the first, you've got the rights of any other, you know, criminal defendant, and that is the right to remain silent up and including through your trial, okay? So you don't ever have to speak. And then the other side of it, us being police officers and actually public employees, that's when it comes into your, you know, if internal affairs would have interviewed him, they can compel him to talk. And if he doesn't talk, then he's terminated. So, but the trouble is if you get into, they cannot use his Garrity, meaning the compelled statement to provide your internal investigation, that cannot bleed over into a criminal trial. Because if they take any of the information contained in his compelled statement, it can't be used against him in violation of his Fifth Amendment right. So that's a tricky topic, and I think that's why they didn't do any internal investigation. However, they fired him for political expediency, but in doing so, they set themselves up for a case that the termination is never going to hold if he beats the criminal charges.
You know,
isn't that the ultimate irony?
The previous administration basically hired him on a political basis, and now they're in a trick bag because of it.
You got it.
This is exactly why politics should never play a role in the hiring of law enforcement officers, and yet we are seeing it around the country.
Yes, there is. It's in some cities, it's a race for rapid diversification at all costs. You know, and that's not. I'm obviously not speaking to. To Nor, I do have to tell you, there was some confusion with him on his training and stuff. They had a case of mistaken identity. We had another Somali officer that had a myriad of training issues and continued through. And there was, they thought it was him. His training records and his training file were, you know, he was, you know, average, if not higher. So there was a big misconception in local media and stuff that they had a case of mistaken identity with him.
Oh, okay.
When it comes to training, he did fine through everything, But you were right that they did. He was used as a political pawn by the mayor and chief, saying, "Hey, look at our guy here." You know, they highlight it's something else. And you can have a class of 30 people come on, and if you got 20 white males, and they're celebrating the diversity of the other 10 all the time, and the white males are kind of standing in the corner, and it's just kind of that's been my way my whole career, you know, and I mean yours also. It is what it is. It's traditionally in policing, it's always been the white males, and oftentimes your military vets, or at least your football and hockey players, and the cities and the politicians in those cities have obviously been trying to shake that up over the last couple of decades.
Right. Well, we're about running out of time here, Bob, and I really want to thank you for taking the time to come on to Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. It's always entertaining to talk to you and talk about the subjects of leadership in Minneapolis. But I'm glad to see that you've got a good chief. It sounds like he's a much more reasonable individual. And that certainly bodes well for the men and women of the Minneapolis Police Department.
If we can just keep the politicians in line. But thank you again for all you do for us, for being our voice at a national level. And great catching up with you, as always.
I appreciate it, man. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Randy.
Each week on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, we pay our respects to the men and women of the profession who have given their lives in the line of duty. We call this End of Watch. I am really pleased to announce that this week, for the first time in a long, long time, I have no names to read. That is, this week, there were no law enforcement officers killed in the line of duty. Now, there have been a number of officers shot and injured, but at least there have been no deaths this week. I am really grateful for that, because there's already been 35 killed in the line of duty this year. I just wish I could always say not one more for this particular segment of the show. So let's just give thanks for that, and we'll hope for the same. Wouldn't it be great if I could just eliminate End of Watch from this entire broadcast? That's the day I'd be looking forward to. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to this week's episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I appreciate you taking the time. You can please find me on Facebook at the voice of American law enforcement. If you are a Twitterer, follow me at LT Randy Sutton. And always support the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. Our organization is the assistance and support organization for injured and disabled law enforcement officers. If you are a police officer, either active duty or retired, and you are suffering from what you think may be some stress-related issues, you can feel free to contact us there as well, because we have a fantastic peer advocate support team, all made up of active duty and retired former officers who have been injured and disabled in the line of duty. TheWoundedBlue.org. Never forgotten, never alone. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next week.